Grace, mercy, and peace be to all from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. 1 week ago today, over 100 million people across the country gathered together. They crammed into various bars, various basements, various venues, and various living rooms. They stared longingly into their numerous hosts' proudly displayed television sets. As each second ticked down, excitement began to build up. An understood hush filled the room, filled the country, filled the world. And then, finally, the time had arrived. The world eagerly stopped whatever they were doing so that they could bear witness to the greatest event that had ever happened in the history of the world. That is the 2016 Pepsi Super Bowl halftime show. Everyone's eyes were glued to the flickering screen. Wonder and excitement filled every home and united the world. As if one voice, we began to ask very important questions. Questions like, who is Coldplay? Just how tall is Bruno Mars? And what exactly was Beyoncé trying to say, and why did she look like that? Yet there was ultimately one intended mystery that trumped all of these important questions. As the cameras began to scan the audience, it was noticeable that each one had a card in their hand. Deductive reasoning proved that there would be a grand finale. Something great was about to happen in that stadium. As awkward act appeared after awkward act, it finally led to the conclusion that there was going to be one final message to be displayed out into the world, even into those who were watching it from space. As the performance progressed, the moment had finally arrived. It was now time to flip the cards for the message to be revealed and to see what was going to happen. All from the packed Levi Stadium in beautiful Santa Clara, California, over 100 million people tuning in across the world to see just what sure wisdom would pour out from this Southern California paradise. Finally, as the world collectively held their breath, the cards were flipped over and the answer was revealed as a beautiful rainbow filled the stadium. Each row was its own unique color, and then there in white lettering was the lasting message that we were supposed to walk away with. This message was, believe in love. What a beautiful display. What a clever and encouraging message this was for the world. Believe in love. With just these words, hearts would no longer be broken, relationships would be mended, and everything would come together. Thankfully, as the stadium began to empty and the custodial team went to work clearing it out, the television ads picked up that message. Now that the game was over, the next unofficial holiday was on the horizon, only 7 days away, where you can prove just how much you believe in that love. Together, we can believe in love by buying jewelry for our special Valentines. A heart-shaped box of chocolates and the perfectly worded Hallmark card could prove just how severely you believe in such love. Don't have that special someone to buy for? Don't worry. eHarmony.com had a special all week long. Free mingling and free messages. If you played your card right, you had that perfect profile selfie picture, you too may have found love, so you can show us how much you believe it. Today, this morning, February 14th, which is Valentine's Day, right? Valentine's Day, two words that can strike fear in many men's hearts and severe disappointment in many women's hearts. Have you ever wondered how this day came to be? Could it really be a day that was invented by the Hallmark Company to increase their profit share? Just who is this Saint Valentine, anyways? How did this day happen? Well, in preparation for that answer, I looked it up. And you're blessed by that. This day, the celebration of Valentine's Day, it actually goes all the way back to the 5th century when Pope Galatius I dedicated February 14th as the Feast of St. Valentine. Not much is really known about this St. Valentine. Many of it's just stories, but there's some popular stories that seem to hold some truth. The most popular being is that he was a man named Valentinus, who was a priest in Italy. According to legend, Valentinus was arrested and imprisoned for performing illegal wedding ceremonies for Christians and hiding those who were being persecuted for their faith. St. Valentine had this passion for the love of Christ, and he was eager to show others that passion in all that he did. While he was in jail, Valentinus told his jailer about Jesus and about the passionate love that Jesus had for him. He also told him of the many miracles that make up the gospel, of what Jesus did, proving that he is God and proving that God is love. In a bold attempt to convert the jailer, he told him all about these miracles, but it turned out the jailer had a secret. And so the jailer brought his daughter before St. Valentine because she was blind. No one was able to heal her. No matter what he did, she still had this plague in her eyes. And the jailer says, if your God is the true God, if he is a God of such love, then prove it right now by healing my daughter. And so confidently, Valentinus prayed. He put his hands over the eyes of the young girl, and immediately she could see. The jailer, of course, was converted right there on the spot, but it couldn't save Valentine's life. There were higher ups that still condemned him to death. And so the legend is that on the morning of his execution, on February 14th, Valentine wrote a message to that girl, and he signed it, "Your Valentine," as a farewell. Thus, this created the tradition of sending Valentine's cards to those that we love on February 14th. Yet somehow this act of loving sacrifice from a man in order to prove just how much God's love is in this world, how much he believed that Jesus was the promised healer and the promised Messiah, this day has now turned into a day of extravagant spending. Each year, over $18.9 billion is spent in America alone just to prove our special love. And this spending is $50 million spent on jewelry, over 58 million pounds of chocolate, 36 million of those heart-shaped boxes, and 8 billion of those awful-tasting sweetheart candies that demand that you be mine. But it leaves us with a question. How did a day commemorated for a man who willingly gave up his life out of love for his Lord turn into such a day of extravagant and unneeded spending just to prove our earthly love for our companions? Just to prove that Super Bowl message that we do, in fact, believe in love. I'm sure if we each take an honest look into our own lives this past week or past months, we may have felt a little bit of pressure to prove such love, have we not? We hear these words used in cards, on television, in the radio ads, even from our friends and our family. But the question is, just what kind of love is it that we are told to believe in? Is it the kind that demands we empty out our bank accounts in order to prove the depths of our devotion? Is it the kind that demands we craftily borrow such sonnets from Chaucer and from Shakespeare, melting the hearts of those that we care about? Is it about getting that table at that coveted restaurant or that perfect gift? Now, I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with these things. God created love, and he wants us to share that, and it's important to demonstrate that with those that we love. What I am talking about is just the ridiculousness that this is the extent of the love that God has given us. I can't help but feel that this type of love is guilty of being underwhelming when compared to the love that St. Valentine himself believed in and dedicated his life to. The type of love that he was even willing to lay down his life instead of turning his back on. Compared to the love that the saint possessed, the love that the world demands we believe in seems to leave us desiring for something more and something lasting. So that leaves us wondering again, just what kind of love does St. Valentine willingly lay down his life for? What kind of love was so powerful, so fulfilling, that this man would rather die than turn his back on it? Since St. Valentine was a God-fearing man who truly believed that Jesus Christ was the Savior, I think it's safe to say that the love that filled this man's life is the same love that filled the Apostle John himself, a man who himself was willing to die alone, to die early, instead of turning his back on it, a man who truly did believe in that kind of love and dedicated his life towards it. John speaks about this love in his letter to the Christian church, this letter that's now known as 1 John. In this letter, John describes the powerful love that he has for his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. John writes in chapter 3, "This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay our lives for our brothers and our sisters. I think for us to better understand what John is saying, we should take a closer look at what John is not saying. He doesn't say, this is how we know what love is. It buys expensive things and copies beautiful words to prove its love. John doesn't say, this is how we know what love is. It demands that others bear witness to just how strong and passionate our love is. John doesn't say, this is how we know what love is. It unites us in a plane of perfect harmony and perfect perfection into all eternity. John's definition of love isn't defined by such words of consumption or verification at all. Instead, John's definition of love could be summarized as this. Love is Jesus Christ willingly laying down his life for the sake of sinners such as you and myself. According to John, the love that he believes in, the love that he has given his entire life in service to, this love is summarized by one very important word, sacrifice. True love, the love that we are told to believe in, would willingly sacrifice its own self in order to serve the object of such love. Now just think about that in this terms of sacrifice, in this terms of love. How rare is that in the world today? A world that tells us to believe in a love that is all about ourselves. To believe in a love that is just gratifying to ourselves, that is about our own pleasure, our own expression, and our own fulfillment. According to John, true love is very different from the love that we often see in this world. True love is proven through more than just candy and Valentine's. In fact, true love itself lives itself out in this way, that we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and our sisters. The reality is that this love ultimately has nothing to do with us or with what we want. In reality, this love, we are always second, and the object of our love is always put at first stage. This love is perfectly witnessed through sacrifice. As John further says, if anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or a sister in need but has no pity on them, then how can the love of God be inside that person? Strong words, and I don't think he's asking a rhetorical question there. What John is saying here is that we are able to live out our lives because you and I have been filled with such love, the love that comes from a sacrificial creator. As John states in a different book, this God loves us so much that he sent his one and only Son into our world to die for us so that we could spend eternity with him. True love is sacrificial because our God is sacrificial, and our God loves us in a sacrificial way. We are his beloved creatures. Our lives have been forever changed by his perfect sacrifice, and we are now filled with that love so that we can take it out into all the world of everywhere that we go. As Christians, this is the true love that you and I believe in. This is also why John can rightfully ask, if such a love is in us, then how can someone in need not willingly have us love them by sacrificing for them? John says, dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. In other words, love is not a noun that we need to seek to possess. No, love is a verb that goes out into all the world wherever we are and forever changes the lives of those that we meet. Because the author of this love is the perfect sacrifice, God himself. There is no unending source of this sacrificial love. So just imagine with me what this world would look like if it chose to believe in such love. Such sacrificial love is seen in a young father who makes enough money to get by, willingly turning down a promotion that comes with prestige, a company car, and celebratory conferences so that he can be home every night to tuck his daughter in and to remind her of the love that not only he has for her, but her heavenly father has for her as well. Such sacrificial love is seen in a veteran accountant who time after time at his own job decides to work off the clock so that he can give back to his company, knowing that his sacrifice will allow others to retain their jobs in a recession. Such sacrificial love is seen in a family who, being led by their faith-filled mother, gives up their Saturday mornings so that they can go to the park and clean and give sandwiches and food and other items to those who are needy in the community to remind them of the love that fills them. Such love is seen in a man whose name is Maximilian Kolbe. Kolbe was a Polish priest who served the church during the Second World War. He lived his life with a passion of love for others and a passion that was filled by Christ because he knew of that sacrificial love of Jesus Christ. This love drove him to go throughout the world to build monasteries and churches that still stand even to this day in parts that had never seen it before in Japan and India. But when the war broke out, he decided to return home to the monastery that he had built in Poland in order to speak out against the corruption and unlovingness of the Nazi party. When his town was invaded, he was offered the ability to sign an order of protection because he was a German citizen since his father was from Germany. But he refused to sign that because he knew he would have to leave his monastery, he would have to leave his town, and he could no longer provide shelter for the many refugees that came across his door and the thousands of Jews who he willingly hid from persecution. On February 17th in 1941, Maximilian Kolbe was arrested by the German Gestapo and eventually imprisoned in the Auschwitz concentration camp. In July, a man from Kolbe's barracks had escaped, which forced the camp commander to pick 10 men at random from his barracks to die a public death of starvation so that no one else would dare to try to escape. Initially, Maximilian's name was not chosen. Instead, a man named Frank was. Upon hearing his own name, Frank broke down in tears and cried out, "My daughter, my son, and my wife," before the tears overcame, because he knew that they would grow not knowing him. Upon hearing this, Maximilian said, "I will go in this man's place," and the camp commander agreed. In the underground cell, Kolbe chose this as an opportunity to describe just what sacrificial love looks like when it comes from Christ. He used this time to console the condemned men, to lead them in prayer and hymns, and to tell them of the Savior. It's reported that many of those men did convert through this witness. After 10 such days, on August 14th, 1941, Kolbe found himself as the only man still left alive of those 10. This displeased the German camp, and so they ordered his instant death, which rumor is Kolbe rose and proudly walked towards his end, eagerly awaiting to see what sacrificial love looks like when it's poured out from God on the other side. Frank himself survived the war and spent 53 years at home before he died in his sleep at the age of 93. Every day of Frank's life, he told of the story of Maximilian Kolbe, but more importantly, he told of the story of what sacrificial love looks like through the death and resurrection of his Savior, Jesus Christ. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and our sisters. Brothers and sisters, with loving sacrifices like St. Valentine, like the Apostle John, like the sainted Maximilian Kolbe, and especially the love that is poured out on us through the death and resurrection of our very own Savior, Jesus Christ, we too are able to love like Jesus. This is most certainly true. Amen. Please rise. And now may the sacrificial love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ keep our hearts and our mind in him into all eternity. And all God's people say, Amen. Amen.